This morning's first reading from the New Testament is taken from Mark chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. Mark chapter 15, reading from verse 1. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled the passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Daddy, why are you frowning and looking so sad?
Aboy, you don't understand. I'm very troubled and frustrated. Next time when you grow up, when you have to make big decisions like me, then you will understand better.
But Daddy, you are Pontius Pilate. You are the governor of Judea. You are like the number one, the highest ranking official around the area. You know, I'm so proud of you. How can you have problems? Why do you look so sad? You know, Daddy, when I go to school, my teachers never ever scold me. Even when I arrive late, or when I never do my homework, they still smile at me. When it's recess time, I never have to line up. My friends, they would fight to get food for me. When I play Roblox, everybody just gives me the rare items they find. I can lift my head high because my father is Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea.
A boy.
Don't sigh, Daddy. Tell me, maybe I can help you.
A boy, you strain your ears a little. Do you hear the commotion going on outside?
Yes, Daddy. The Jewish leaders are all outside the house. They are shouting away. They want this Jesus to be crucified. They want this Jesus to be killed by these scary long nails. That's the problem. You see, these Jewish leaders are very smart. They are trying to make use of me, Pontius Pilate, to kill Jesus. They arrested Jesus because he had performed so many miracles and he has so many followers. The Jewish leaders are just so jealous of him and they want him killed. And they want to make use of my hands to kill him. Wow, Daddy, you are so clever. You see through their plot. How did you find out? Ah, boy, very easy. In Matthew 26, these Jewish leaders first accused Jesus of blasphemy when they caught him. But now, you look at the new accusation that they bring before me. Because they know that the Romans will not charge anyone who has violated only the Jewish law. I can charge them if they violate the Roman law. And so they are fabricating accusations against Jesus. Crime number one, encouraging people not to pay tax. Tax evasion. Crime number two, claiming to be king. Treason. Crime number three, causing riots all over the countryside. Terrorism. Tax evasion, treason, terrorism. They are literally forcing me, Pontius Pilate, to act. They are boxing me in. They are forcing my hands to pick up the hammer and drive those nails in. Daddy, you're so clever. That's why I'm so proud of you, you know. You can see through the plot of the Jewish leaders immediately. Then what's the problem? Just release Jesus. You know he's innocent. Don't let them use your nails on him. Aboya, you know what? I really want to release him. I really do. You see, John 19, I sought to release Jesus. I tried. But my boy, it is not as simple as that. As the governor, I need to make the people happy as well. If I release Jesus, the Jewish people won't be happy. And then when the people are not happy, they will complain. They will start writing letters to the newspapers, post on forum, on social media. Hashtag Pilate not Caesar's friend. Hashtag enemy of the state. Hashtag I jalat jalat. And worst of all, they will start writing letters to the Roman Emperor Tiberius. And our boy, everyone knows that the Roman Emperor hates rebellion. And if they complain that Jesus is rebelling and I, Pontius Pilate, am not doing anything, then what will happen? I cannot be the governor anymore. I may be sacked. Hashtag jobless. But Daddy, our boy, then what will happen to you? Once I'm no longer governor, no one will carry your school bag for you. No one will wash the toilet for you. No more egg fried rice with pork chop from Ding Tai Fung. No more special ingredients in Hai Di Lao. No more first class tickets to Tokyo Disneyland. And then your mother, she cannot go to the spa or do Prada shopping. Cannot have the nice afternoon tea at MBS anymore. I know, Daddy, you can ask Mother. What does Mother say? Mother? Say? She doesn't say. She nags. Look at Matthew 27. Your mother keeps telling me that this Jesus is innocent. She says she has these dreams and nightmares as well, and she keeps nagging at me to spare the innocent Jesus. You see, our boy, my conscience tells me that I cannot kill him. Your mother pleads also for him. But my career is hanging here. If I allow justice and free Jesus, then my career is gone. Habis, wan liao, finish, susa. I cannot afford to lose the respect of the people. I cannot afford to lose my position. I cannot take the responsibility of freeing Jesus. Think, Daddy, think. I'm sure there's a solution. You always help me when I'm confused. I'm sure you can find a way out. Aboya, you know, I even sent Jesus to Herod because I found out he was from Galilee. But you know what that Herod did?
He sent him right back to me. And see, verse 6, I even came up with this bright idea to release Jesus. For during the feast, the governor can release a prisoner that is chosen by the crowd. So I let the people choose. I purposely chose Barabbas. He is the worst prisoner we have. He's a murderer, a robber. And I asked the people, do you want me to release Barabbas or Jesus? I really thought the people will choose to free Jesus. Daddy, so who did the people choose? They chose Barabbas. They actually chose Barabbas. They wanted to kneel Jesus. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. These people are so terrible. Daddy, you are like a chicken. What? A chicken. A timid little chicken. How dare you talk to me like that? You are getting out of hand. Sorry, Daddy, but I don't understand. You already know what's right, but you won't do it. You tried to make Herod decide, and then you tried to make the crowd decide. You want them to choose the nails so your hand would be clean. But Daddy, by not deciding for justice, you have decided against it. You decided for the nails. It's like seeing somebody fall down into the drain. You know you should help, but because you don't want to get involved, you make excuses. It's like you know that a poor is always alone, and the Holy Spirit nudges at you to spend time with her, but you value your own space and privacy. You choose inaction. It's like in your workplace when you see your boss cheating, taking credit for others' work, showing discrimination. You know you should act, report, do something, but you keep quiet. You choose self-preservation. It's like when you see a friend being unfairly treated, gossiped at, excluded by a group, but you do nothing. Because maintaining your social standing is more important than standing up for fairness. Today, you can do justice, Daddy. Today, you can stop the nails. You have the authority. Just follow the Holy Spirit, like my JC teacher always say. Enough, our boy. Stop nagging. You sound more and more like your mother. You look downstairs. More and more people are joining in the crowd. They all want me to crucify Jesus. The crowd is getting bigger and bigger. When you are in my shoes, then you will understand. It's not so straightforward. This is the real world. The big man's world. It's not so simple as doing the right thing when the mob is screaming for nails. Daddy, it's not easy, but mother supports you. I support you. God is on the side of justice. See, Noah, Joseph, David, Joshua, Gideon, Samson, and later Paul. If God is on your side, who can be against you? Aboya, I really think SJSM Junior Church has taught you well. But, Daddy, let Jesus go. Don't let them drive those horrible thick nails through his hands and feet. These are hands that heal and love people. These are feet that walk the distance. Please, Daddy, use your power to stop the hammer, to put away the nails. You know this trial is wrong. You have the authority. You can make a difference. You are responsible. Please, Daddy, please, please don't condemn Jesus. Reading from Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Father, I pray that on this Good Friday morning, you help us to see for Pilate thought his conscience was clear when he washed his hands, but he nailed you to that cross. So too it is our sins that have nailed you to the cross of Calvary. You died for us so we can be free. Free not to be conformed by the pattern of this world, but free to do that which is right, always in your eyes. So I pray that you help us to have the courage to do the right thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now he climbs towards the hill. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it. Love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship the Lamb who was slain.
So, Father, we pray that you speak to us in this moment. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, what a painful day that was for you. To have been betrayed by one of your own, deserted by those closest to you, and then forced to face a rioting crowd of people who twisted your words and actions, accusing you of things you had not done. As the crowd was stirred up by the chief priests in power, as the crowd was swayed and manipulated to riot for what the chief priests wanted, you stood there in agony, longing to gather this people under your wings as a hen gathers her brood, even as the people shouted, "Crucify him." The crowd was too blinded by hearsay of the unverified charges brought against you. They were too blinded to consider what was true and what wasn't. Lord Jesus, where we have been easily swayed by the world, forgive us. Help us, God, to be rooted in your word, to be slow to accuse, to distinguish truth from what is false. Jesus, you knew all that Pilate was wrestling with. He knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered you up to be crucified. Pilate felt a tug in his heart to do the right thing, yet he ignored it. He did not value a stranger's life enough to do something about the injustice at hand, but he washed his hands clean of it. Lord, would you forgive us for where we have turned a blind eye to the battles and storms of another person? Lord, where we have cowered in the face of human pressure, would you forgive us and restore us to courage, O Lord? Shape us into people that dare to act justly, who love mercy, and who walk humbly with our God, as you have called us to. Jesus, when you were delivered over to Pilate, you were silent. You did not defend your case, even though you were excellent at reasoning with people, and you had a clean conscience. You hardly said anything, but you stood there as injustice unfolded before your eyes, knowing the suffering that was coming. Yet amidst all human brokenness, you trusted that the Lord was sovereign. Lord, will you impart to us such faith, such that even when we are standing in the face of trials and dangers, we will trust that you are working and you are not done with our story yet. And most of all, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your love. Despite every injustice that was committed against you, you still chose to go to the cross. You loved us when we were still far off, when we were still sinners, and you loved us with your entire life. So our response is this: were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, and we want to say we choose you, Lord. When it comes time to follow the world versus to follow you, we choose to follow you, Lord. And it is not by our own strength that we say this, but by your Spirit working in us, empowering us to see clearly what really matters. In Jesus' name, amen.
The second reading from the New Testament is taken from Mark chapter 15, verses 22 to 39. Mark chapter 15, reading from verse 22. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests, the scribes, mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
We come now to our second reflection. Jesus is crucified. As we have heard from our passage in Mark 15, 22 to 39, we now stand at Golgotha. Now, the gospel writers call the place the skull, but most of us know it as simply Calvary. Now, this was the place where Jesus spent the final few hours of his earthly life. This was the place where he was nailed to the cross, the place where he hung for 6 excruciating hours before he took his final breath. Now, as far as I'm aware, no country in our world today practices crucifixion as capital punishment. Why? Well, simply because it's just too cruel. It's too inhumane. It's barbaric to make another human being die in this manner. In fact, someone once said that crucifixion was designed in such a way it's meant to cause a slow death, to prolong suffering, and to inflict the maximum amount of pain on the victim. Which is why the ancient Roman philosopher Cicero actually called crucifixion the most disgusting and the most cruel penalty of his time. Now, if you were present at Golgotha that morning, what would you have seen? And what would you have witnessed? Now, let me read for you now what a biblical scholar wrote about what you would have experienced that day. Quote, "None of the gospel authors provides any details concerning the actual crucifixion. Each simply notes the fact that the soldiers crucified Jesus. Most first century readers would have had some idea of the physical torture and public shame that crucifixion would involve. Victims either died from physical trauma, loss of blood, or shock, or succumb to suffocation when they no longer had the strength to lift themselves up to breathe. The Romans employed a number of different crucifixion techniques, but the use of nails and a crossbar was common." My dear friends, you were each given a nail as you walk into the service today. I invite you now to take the nails out. Hold it in your hands. And imagine, the nails you have is quite small. Imagine it to be 2 to 3 times longer. Now try to imagine with me now what it was like for Jesus as the nails were hammered into his hands and his feet. Imagine the indescribable pain he experienced. And imagine also what it must have felt like for Jesus to have his whole entire body weight supported only by these nails as he hung on the cross, struggling for breath. Now remember also, my dear friends, that this is the Jesus through whom the entire universe was created, the one who spoke the world into being. And you know, the very iron that's used to forge these nails, he's the one. He's the one who created them too. And if he had wanted to, Jesus could have easily made these nails disappear. And he could have stepped down from the cross, spared himself this needless suffering, and put an end to everything with just a word. But Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. On that day on the cross of Calvary, Jesus allowed the nails to do what they did. But then again, it wasn't really the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was his love, not the nails. Jesus chose to stay on the cross because he chose to take our place on the cross. He chose to stay on that cross because he chose to bear our punishment. And Jesus chose to stay on that cross all because of his undying love for you and for me. Church, I invite you now to take a few moments to just reflect further on why Jesus chose to stay on that cross. And as you hold on to the nails in your hands, just listen. Listen to how your heart is responding to the love that was demonstrated on that cross that day. And to help us in our reflection, I'd like us now to watch this next video. In case you are unable to read the words on the video, let me just recap what was said as we continue to reflect on Jesus' crucifixion that day. Hanging on the cross, Jesus seemed powerless to free himself. But it was not the soldiers that kept him captive. It was not the taunting crowds that secured him fast. It was not the nails in his hands and his feet that held him there. It was his love for all humanity that caused Jesus to endure the cross. Friends, can I invite you to continue your reflection as you join me in this prayer? This is a personal prayer. My personal response as I reflected on my own encounter with a Jesus who chose to suffer and die on that fateful Friday morning. So if I may, allow me to pray these words on our behalf. Dear Jesus, as I behold you suffering and dying on the cross, there's a part of me that wants to cry out, Jesus, you didn't have to go through all of that. But the truth is, you did. As you hung there, bearing the weight of pain, shame, and humiliation, and feeling utterly forsaken, you could have easily torn those nails from your hands and feet. But the truth is, you didn't. This morning, I'm reminded that it wasn't the nails that held you there. It was your love. You endured all of this out of love. Love for me and for all of humanity. Lord, I want to confess, I cannot fully comprehend a love like yours. A love that would compel you to bear our guilt and shame, take our place on the cross, and suffer that we might live. Yet, Lord, with all my heart, I want to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for choosing the way of the cross. Thank you for your love, so vast, so sacrificial, so immeasurable. Thank you for Good Friday and for all that it means for me, for us, and for the world. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. And I want to invite you to continue your reflection on Jesus' crucifixion as you now listen to this song.
Because of love, you left his throne and made this earth his home. He did it willingly for you and me. With heaven left behind, he came to save all mankind from sin and shame. He could.
In conclusion, may we be reminded once again that it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was his love for all of humanity. And it was his love for you and me that caused him to endure the cross on that Good Friday afternoon 2,000 years ago. Friends, you hold in your hands a nail that can perhaps serve also as a reminder. A reminder not only of our sin, but more importantly, of his love. Yes, it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross, but it was his great love for us that kept him there. So on this Good Friday morning, may we be forever thankful for Jesus' sacrifice. But more than that, may we live our lives in response to that love. May we never forget or take lightly what Jesus did on the cross. And may we always worship him, for he alone is worthy of all our praise and adoration. So let me now close with this final response song. And may you respond accordingly.
Come and weep, come and mourn, for your sin that pierced him there, so much deeper than the wounds of flood and air. All our pride, all our greed, all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him.
We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream.
For us, you are made.
Lamb who was slain, wounded for me.
Let's take a few minutes to just be still as we continue to kneel at the foot of the cross.
Dear Lord Jesus, through our reflection on this passage from Mark chapter 15, we were transported to Golgotha. We imagine ourselves as witnesses of your immense and intense suffering that eventually led to your death on the cross. You were nailed to the cross for 6 excruciating hours. You had to struggle for every breath. You were unrecognizable because of the wounds and the blood that flowed from your head down to your body and dripping off your pierced feet. Besides the physical torture, you also had to endure emotional pain inflicted by many who stood there watching you, their betrayal, rejection, ridicule, and mockery. This torment went on and on and on until you took your final breath and died on the blood-stained cross. Lord Jesus, you are the Almighty God. You are the creator of everything on earth. And in the universe, no one and nothing, certainly not these nails, could have kept you on the cross. Your omnipotence could have easily spared you the anguish, agony, and humiliation. Yet, you chose to stay on the cross to bear the punishment we deserve. You chose to be scourged because of your love for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for this reflection, which is a timely reminder of how and why you were crucified Holy Spirit, help us to do more than simply react with horror at the crucifixion of Jesus. Instead, cause our hearts to burn within us as an individual and as a community. Let us respond to God's ultimate act of love and sacrifice with a heartfelt confession and repentance of our sins, a broken and contrite spirit, a deep sense of reverence and gratitude to God for His precious gift of redemption and His infinite grace, a renewed and compelling faith in God and obedience to His word, and a courage greater than that of the centurion who said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." But we declare, "Truly, he is the Son of God." O Lord, as you had allowed the nails made by men to pierce your hands and your feet, may we allow you, O Lord, to pierce our hearts and transform our minds with your love. May your love be the magnet that draws us close to you and lead us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us remember that the sacrifice you made at Calvary has paved the way to salvation for anyone who receives your gift of redemption. This gift of salvation has been paid in full on our behalf by Jesus with his life on the cross. And for that, O Lord, we are eternally grateful to you. And in the precious name of Jesus, we pray, Amen.